Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray, everyone. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Father, that even with a wet and rainy day, you've made a way for us to be here and to come into your house and to be in your presence. Thank you for everyone who made it physically here. Thank you also for everyone who is joining us virtually. We pray that we will all be blessed today in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen. Amen. Clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. And I want to thank you all for coming, for braving the weather and being here. I don't take it for granted at all. It means so much to me. You know, some of you, if we know exactly what you have to navigate through in order to get here, we will be amazed. But in spite of all the challenges, you're here, and not everybody was able to make it. And that's what makes you very special to me today. God bless you and thank you very much. Give yourselves a mighty hand clap. There are others also, genuinely, they really wanted to be here. But the issues with where they live, it is not just possible to come. We understand that, we appreciate, and we pray that you've been able to join us virtually. Whatever it is God has for us here is available for even those who are not physically present. And God bless you all. Thank you very much to our online audience. Put your hands together for them as well. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day, and we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house, the fathers, the grandfathers, the substitute fathers, the spiritual fathers, every father figure, and for all husbands. And since all men are potential fathers, we are including them in the equation. Right now, I want to ask all fathers and all grandfathers and spiritual fathers and spiritual fathers and the other type of fathers, everybody should rise and let the congregation clap and bless God for their lives. We are dedicated to husbands, men. My son, you're a man. Stand. Okay.
Daddy, wake up early morning. Working hard when rain is falling.
When the rain is falling.
Quiet smile, tired eyes. Still you always make us smile. You carry pain and never show it. Teach us strength
and
how to grow.
Let's acknowledge fathers.
Even when the road gets hard, you still protect us with your heart. And I know you gave your best for me. Even though you made life feel sweet.
Amen and amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap and let's celebrate the fathers again. And fathers, we want to say that we appreciate you and we honor you. We acknowledge all the sacrifices that you make to keep the home running, to keep us safe and secure, to provide for us. It is not easy to be a man. When I was growing up, there was a song I heard being played many times. When I was a boy, I taught my mama say, like I be man, I go like, oh, for men they will enjoy you. said, my mother taught me, say, to be a man, to be a man. Now, wow. Yes. And that's the truth. I mean, mothers are always celebrated, and it is easier to celebrate mothers because there certainly have been issues and challenges with fathers. But I want all fathers here and all potential fathers to understand that you have a very important role to play in God's agenda for families. And my prayer is that God will continue to strengthen us, will continue to give us wisdom, will help us to be able to play our roles well, so that everything that God has entrusted to us, will be able to take very good care of them. Thank you for being who you are, and may the grace of God abound unto all fathers and help us to do our very best to the glory of our Lord and King. At the tail end of the service, we're going to pray for you. Put your hands together for the fathers as they resume their seats. Amen and amen. All right, I want us to get into the Word of God. And last week, I shared the first part of my sermon with you, titled Stewardship, God's Path to Increase and Elevation. Stewardship, God's Path to Increase and Elevation. This is the second part. And I believe that what I have to share on this topic is very relevant to all fathers in the house, because really we've been made stewards of the home and stewards of the family, and there's a need to be able to play that role well so that our families, our homes, will be everything God intended it to be. So this is part two of stewardship, God's path to increase and elevation. Hallelujah. And we have our pastor, you know, the pastor in charge of every work that we are doing in the OT region. He's here in the house. Pastor Life, can you rise and just wave at us? God bless you. He came down to sort out something, and he thought that it would be good for him to be here. At the tail end of the service, I'll let him bring you greetings from the OT region. It's one of the troubled spots of our country, and it hasn't been easy for them. But we will hear from him at the tail end of the service. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 78? We're reading verse 70, 71, and 72. Psalm 78 from verse 70 to 72. It says, he chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs, and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart, and led them with skillful hands. Luke 16, verse 10 to 12, please. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. I am sure that I can safely say, and all of us will agree with me, that every one of us desires to flourish and succeed in life. Am I right? Is there anybody here who wants to succeed and flourish in life? Can I see by show of hands? And God is watching you, because if you don't lift your hand, He would draw a conclusion about you that you don't want to flourish and succeed. And I believe that all of us want to excel in our various endeavors. and do well in everything that we set out to do. We want to make progress and we want to reach greater heights in life. I pray that God will lift you from where you are currently in life to a higher level and to a greater height in Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. And all of us long to experience increase, to experience abundance, to experience promotion, and to experience fulfillment. And I believe that I can say so for all of us. Is that not so? But you know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that desire alone is not enough. You can have a desire to have certain things, but desire alone will not get you to where you want to get to. How many agree with me? And that is why there's a saying, I'm sure that a lot of you are familiar with it, that if wishes were horses, beggars will ride them. All right. Michelle, how can you understand it? And now you said it correctly. Okay. All right. So if wishes were horses, beggars will just ride them. Okay. So there's a difference between wishing for something and actually experiencing that thing in your life. Hallelujah. I have come to the place, after having lived this life for a while, that true increase and lasting elevation come from God. Amen. True increase and lasting elevation come from God. There's a type of increase that looks like a positive thing. But the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, they make rich and he adds no sorrow to it. It means that there are some blessings that can enrich you, but they come with a lot of sorrows. That's not true blessings. That is no true increase. There's a certain kind of elevation and promotion that is not real and that does not last. And politicians experience that a great deal. So for 4 years, you see politicians who are highly elevated, bluffing us all over the place. Sometimes I look at some of them on television and see how kukoti they have become. And the way they walk and they even carry themselves, it smacks of pride and arrogance. I mean, I may be wrong about them, you see, but sometimes the way you carry yourself and the way you present yourself sends a message which may not really be true about you. And that is why you also have to be careful how you carry yourself. You must not have a lofty look. You must not have a proud look. You must not have a look that feels like, you know, you're despising everybody around you. So I'm explaining something to you, that there's a kind of lifting up that is not lasting. After 4 years, you will just be brought low. But when I talk about true increase and lasting elevation or promotion, it is only God who makes that happen. So look at what Hannah said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. From the New King James Version, if it's not asking too much of you. It says, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Who does all of these things? The Lord. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Who alone can make such things happen? The Lord. May he do that for you. If you find yourself low, 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 low down below, may the mighty hand of God reach down to you, whatever hole you find yourself in. pick you up and set you at a place you never imagined for yourself. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. It says, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. It is one of the lines of the song that Trula ministered, Capable God. For by strength no man shall prevail. Sometimes it looks like you've got strength. Alright? But a lot of things that we have in this life often turn out to be fleeting. What I mean is that you may have it today, the next time it is all gone. There are people who seem to be high up in life at a certain point, but then as life goes on and they encounter certain things in life, they just come down. So when it says that by strength no man shall prevail, it is talking about physical strength, natural strength. But when that strength is strength from above, and if that help that you have in life is from above, you will prevail no matter what comes your way. And may God cause you to prevail in this life in the name of Jesus. Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7. It says, for exaltation or promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. What does he do? He puts down one and exalts another. What are these scriptures pointing us to? The fact that it is God who brings true increase and lasting elevation in this life. Now, God in his wisdom has established certain principles and a pathway that leads to abundance, to promotion, and to holistic well-being. I'll say that again. God, in his own wisdom, has put in place certain principles and has set a pathway that leads to promotion, to abundance, and to holistic well-being. And holistic well-being is well-being that is through and through. Well-being that reflects in every area of your life. That is a well-balanced life. And there are principles, and there's a certain path that God has set that can bring the sons of men to that place. And those who discover and faithfully follow this path position themselves to experience the increase and elevation that only God can give. Can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. You know, I told you last week that greatness does not happen overnight. That you are just there, no, you've become great. It doesn't happen. If you ever hear that something like that has happened, probably, I mean, there are a number of options. One of them is that somebody has inherited a lot of money overnight. All right? Inheritance. You went to sleep. The next day when you woke up, you found out that so much money has been made available to you. How many would like to receive something like that? Is he your face? So that's one possibility. I mean, the other possibility is that maybe you are into scam or fraud or one of those things. But even that one, it doesn't happen overnight too. Scammers, it's a lot of work. Be beyond the phone. Yeah. But the truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that true success and greatness does not happen overnight. And real progress in this life that is authentic, it comes through steady, faithful, and consistent steps and effort. That's how it happens. So, certainly, we don't have wings, so we cannot fly. But we have feet that can scale and climb and take one step after the other. And you'd be amazed how these small steps can bring us to remarkable heights in this life. Can I have an amen from somebody? So what we decided to do was to look at a very classic example of somebody who did very, very well. And what we discover about him, which is the subject of our sermon, is that through stewardship, you can experience increase and you can experience elevation in your life. And that stewardship is actually God's path to increase and elevation. Say with me, stewardship is God's path to increase and elevation. Hallelujah. So we see with David that he was a great person. He died at a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And somebody inherited him. That is a sign of greatness. He was also the greatest king that Israel ever had. Then we realize also that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was often referred to as the son of David. Not the son of Josiah. Not the son of Azariah. But the son of David. David was great. And that is why Jesus was associated with him. And he came through his line. So you see, all of these things point to the greatness of David. But when we trace his life, and indeed the lives of other great biblical characters, and even the lives of successful people in this modern contemporary life, one of the main things that we see, and it's a pattern, that there's a path they journeyed on which brought them increase and elevation. And I've already submitted to you that that path is the path of stewardship. Understand that David's greatness did not begin on the throne. It was not when he ascended the throne that it all began for him. His greatness began in the sheepfold, at the back of the desert, in the wilderness, where he was taking care of his father's sheep, out of public view, out of public scrutiny. He was just there and doing his best. So he demonstrated good stewardship over that period of time. And it was that good stewardship that brought him the increase and elevation in life. Hallelujah. Amen. I define stewardship for you that it is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. Do you remember that? And then I said that it is taking good care of what has been entrusted to you. All right. Now, we are moving on from, so what I've done is just a summary of what I shared with you earlier. And we now want to try and convince ourselves as to whether indeed stewardship is what gave rise to David's increase and elevation. And I'm going to show you the signs of good stewardship that David showed. Did I talk about that at all? No, I didn't get there. All right, the signs of good stewardship that David showed. So we're going to run through them. The first sign is that he was faithful in small responsibilities. Amen. He was faithful in small responsibilities. It was one of the signs of good stewardship which David revealed. He was faithful in small responsibilities. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. Reading from the New Living Translation. So this is a story of when Samuel arrived in the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as king. Jesse had 8 sons. 7 of them were in the house. Shockingly, one of them was not invited to this special service. When the 7 sons lined up before Samuel, all of them were rejected. And Samuel knew that he had heard the voice of God to go to the house of Jesse. So then he asked a logical question. Are these your only sons? So in 1 Samuel 16:11, then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Jesse replied, there is still the youngest. Now, where is this young son? He said, but he is out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Where was he? In the fields. Watching the sheep and the goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. You know, when Samuel arrived to anoint a king, David was not there. But he was not idling somewhere. He was working. He had a responsibility. And it didn't look like a big or major responsibility. But he was at it. And he was handling it responsibly. He was taking care of his father's sheep and goats. And I told you last week that it wasn't a large flock and herds. Because his brother rebuked him when he showed up at the battlefront, accusing him of irresponsibility. He asked him, with whom have you left these few sheep? Because some people have a lot of sheep, others also have a few. When you go through town, don't you see them? Sometimes you see a cow head. You know a cow, no friend, and cow head. A headsman. Sorry, thank you very much. You see a headman with a lot of cows. Then sometimes you see somebody with two cows taking care of them. David did not have a lot of sheep, but he took good care of them responsibly, and he was responsible in taking care of the few sheep that his father had assigned him. He carried out his assigned responsibility faithfully. You see, what would be exciting about taking care of a few sheep? It's what we can call mundane. It's like ordinary. Nothing exciting. Nothing interesting about it. It's just the same routine every day, every day, every day. It lacks excitement. It lacks interest. But he stuck with it and faithfully carried out that responsibility. What he was doing was not special. What he was doing was not extraordinary. But he handled it faithfully. So there's a lesson for us. That God often promotes people who are faithful in small things. God often promotes people who are faithful in small things. And what David was doing was not something very great in that sense. But he did it faithfully and he carried it out well. One of the reasons I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, why sometimes our increase and elevation delays is because whatever responsibilities are entrusted to us, we do not carry them out faithfully. Because in the earlier scripture in Luke 16, it says that if you are not faithful in that which is another man's, or if you are not faithful in little things, you will not be faithful in large ones. Or if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. So what opens the door to largeness and opens the door to increase and opens the door to promotion is your ability to be faithful with even the little ordinary responsibilities that are entrusted to you. You are sitting in, you know, somebody's supermarket. You are the sales girl there. Are you doing it faithfully? Or you are an apprentice in a hairdressing saloon or a fashion shop? Are you handling it faithfully? The Ministry of Education has employed you to teach little children, primary 5. Are you doing it faithfully? You've been employed as a cleaner to clean the office and everything. It's not that. What is exciting about cleaning? But can you do it faithfully? Can you do it with a good attitude? Or in church, you've been put in charge of the lights, of the sound, of the ashes, of the drama ministry, of the choir. Can you do it faithfully? And a lot of things that are done in this life are monotonous. It's like the same thing you do. There isn't much excitement to many of the things that we do in life. Because it's the same motions that you go through day in and day out. But can you do it faithfully? Because it is your ability to do it faithfully that will lead to your elevation in this life. Can somebody say an amen to that? Amen. A couple of Saturdays ago, I went for a friend's 60th birthday party. And different people came to give testimonies about him. One of his daughters came to testify about the father, and she said so many things about him. But one of the things that she said that struck me and that really touched me was that many years ago, even before, this friend of mine is now the general secretary of the denomination he serves under. Now, this is a ministry that is more than 40 years old. So it stands in the same bracket with churches like ICGC, Christian Action Faith Ministries, Victory Bible Church. Yeah, those people, the founders of those churches are the contemporaries of the one who founded this church, Revival Outreach Church International. But the daughter said that before their father even became a pastor and a minister, he had some responsibilities in the church. But he was working in Sogakoba. He was working where? Sogakoba. That's where he was working. And every weekday service, I'm sure it was a Wednesday service, he would drive from Sogakoba to church. And then when they close, he will sleep. And early in the morning, he will go back there. For what service? Midweek service. And their church was at Odoko. To Sogakoba. So would you be surprised, or why should you be surprised when God elevates such a person? It's a blessed guy. It's a blessed guy. But you see, when I heard this testimony, I appreciated even more the blessings of God upon him and the goodness of God in his life. I found out something that I didn't know about. That this my friend had undergone an open heart surgery. Because they discovered that there was a problem with his heart. So they used a saw to split his chest, his rib cage, and cut, because there was a problem with one of the valves of his heart. So they had to replace it with a metallic component. I didn't know that my friend was a bionic man. That inside him was a metal, without which you will not be alive today. How they got the money to do the procedure was a miracle. And the doctor who did the procedure explained to him that the chances are 50-50. In fact, he explained to him that out of 3 or whatever people who do it, it's probably just 1 who will survive. I'm not even sure about the statistics. But the fact of the matter is that he survived it. You see, there are some things that you experience in this life and you receive from God. It may never have occurred to you that it is connected to your faithfulness in little things. Because it's easy to despise little things and say that just forget about it. Little things like coming to sweep the church. Coming to sweep. Little things like coming to arrange chairs. Little things that's like somebody has given his life to Christ and the person has been entrusted to you to take care of him. Or a department has been put under your care, or a ministry has been put under your care. How faithfully are you handling it? And ladies and gentlemen, I won't lie to you. There is no magic wand that you can just wave. And just by waving, you'll be transported from where you are to a great height in life. There's nothing like that. But a lot of the greatness that you see and admire have come about through just being faithful with little things. So are we faithful with little things? What responsibility have you been given? And are you carrying it out faithfully? Maybe your responsibility is to make sure that when you come to church, make sure that all the lights are turned on. Make sure that all the microphones are working. Make sure that every light is working. It doesn't look like any big thing. But can you do it faithfully? Because if you can be faithful in small responsibilities, it will carry you to great heights. And the little things that we despise are the reason why sometimes there's no promotion and elevation in our lives. Responsibility. If you've been assigned something to do, please do it responsibly. Do it responsibly, whatever it is. To lead a song, to take care of a few people in the choir. To arrange things. One of the very special ministries in this church is the children's ministry. But it's a ministry that is away from public view. And you're handling little children who cry a lot. And sometimes they are fighting. The day we did the department connect, I don't think there's anybody who joined the children's ministry. But that ministry is one of the most critical ministries of this church. But you can look at the little children and say that, who are these? Always crying, always fighting. That sometimes you find out that somebody has taken something, hit another child. So then, what is wrong with this little child? You can take it and that's the way you see them. But do you remember how upset Jesus was with the disciples when the parents were bringing the children to them and they were doing He was angry with them. He says, stop that rough day. Let the little children come to me. For the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like that. People who can be childlike. People who can be innocent. People who can be easy to impress like little children. Let them come to me. And he carried them on his laps and blessed them. They are very, very important. So if you have a responsibility to take care of little children, it's a major thing. Don't despise it. Do it faithfully. Because you don't know how these little children are going to turn out one day. They are the future of this church. A little child you are taking care of may end up becoming the president of this nation. And hopefully he would remember that you took care of him. So if there's some contract being shared, you would also get it. Amen. My time is up. And there are 9 signs. But this one alone can carry us for some time. I say, you want to experience increase and elevation. Let us learn to be faithful with small responsibilities. Whatever has been entrusted to you to do, handle it faithfully. Again, I'm stressing that it may not be something great, because the deception that many of us operate under is that when the thing is major, then that one I'll be faithful. But the Bible makes it clear that if you are not faithful in little things, nobody is going to entrust any major things to you. I want to say to us, the fathers and the men, that the responsibilities that God has given to us as husbands and as fathers, let's carry those responsibilities out well and trust God for wisdom and strength and guidance to be able to play our role as fathers well and carry out our responsibilities well. Because that is what will make us see a lot of great things in our homes and with our families. And fathers, let's be spiritual. Let's be spiritual. Let's be faithful with our spiritual responsibilities. Do not let the wives and the women take over your leadership role. And your leadership role is also in the area of spiritual things. That's why I freaked out at the point. I said, today to Father's Day, it is still the women with their 29 tambourines who are still in front here dancing. Where are the men? If Mr. Awotri doesn't come, or Brother Enoch doesn't come, and then Julius, when he wakes up on the best, on the very good side of the bed, Pastor Christian will come all the way from the control room. It's like the men are just there. I mean, that is not what you use to define spirituality. But it says something. It says something. So let's be faithful with our responsibility. Let's lead the home. Let's lead the children. And I want to say to the women and to the wives, allow the fathers to carry out their role and responsibility, and do not interfere. Do not interfere. Because you are creating a problem and you are creating an awkward situation in the house. Yesterday I was at a seminar and some of the fathers were complaining how their wives have been obstructing them. They've noticed that the children's grades are coming down. And they realize that it's because their mother likes watching the telenovela. And she will watch for hours with the children. So husband comes and say, "Darling, it's not working. The children's grades are so, do not watch it with them." She freaks out. So now the father has to rise up. He has two televisions. He's packed all the televisions away. And then she's told him that, you are taking the televisions away. No more access. When I say no more access, do you understand? No more access. And the man was saying it painfully and bitterly that since then, no access. Is he surviving? I don't know how. So now, his king was chaining him. So now I had to try and go and lobby. And said, okay. Said, okay. You see, it's not that. Okay, you let's do this. But the most of your friends are telling. Telling novella. Fafa. Someone, why is she doing that to me? That thing. Explain to her that, okay. Usually they show it in the evening. But in the afternoon, they repeat. So, and the time they are repeating it, the children are at school. So that one, you can watch. So that's the latest presentation. And he's waiting to see whether Ebefa and I say Emfa. Because, now what's Reno? But why should there be a struggle? Is it difficult to understand that the children's grades are coming down? So let's minimize the TV hours. What is difficult about it? So sometimes the reason why things are not done in a certain way in the home is because our dear women and wives are opposing us. You have become like an opposition party to your husband's ruling government. Yeah. And sometimes they do it so that they will have a special place in the hearts of the children. And a lot of them will hear that mommy understands us. But daddy, dear, unreasonable. Hey, have you ever said that about me before? They're not. Our father doesn't understand anything. There's everything. He's always spoiling our joy and all of those other things. Later on, when the children turn out a certain way, they be the ones that are so help the men to be responsible. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of his holy word. It's time we got to end the service. We'll continue next week. Rise to your feet, everyone. Hey, 9 points, only one. Anyway, Jesus is coming soon, but I suspect that he may give us time to finish this before he comes. So trust him. All right, let us pray. I want you to pray for yourself this morning. We just have a few minutes to close. And one cardinal point that you've heard today is that faithfulness in small responsibilities is something that can lead you to great heights and increase in your life. You want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be faithful. Somebody has given you a job. Somebody has given you a little money. Somebody has given his car to you. Somebody has given, you know, his shop to you to handle. Can you be faithful with it? Pray for yourself that, Holy Spirit, help me to be faithful. Because now I understand that faithfulness in small responsibilities can lift me up to greater heights. Pray for yourself right now as we round up today's service in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, thank you. Oh, let your voices be heard praying right now. Pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunities that you bring our way. Thank you, Father, for the doors that you've opened unto us. You require of us to be faithful. Your word says that it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. We recognize, Father, in ourselves that there are times when we demonstrate irresponsibility and lack of faithfulness with what is given to us. Sometimes we are giving money to help out, we waste it. Sometimes people give us things to help and assist us, and we don't take good care of those things. People entrust jobs to us, entrust their shops to us, entrust their children to us. Sheep are entrusted to us. Departments are entrusted to us. Ministries are entrusted to us, but we do not run them faithfully. Forgive us for all those times. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. I pray in the name of Jesus, let the truth about stewardship release us to flourish and become the reason for our lifting up to greater heights. I thank you, Father, today in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for you today. And it is based on a very important question that I want to put to us. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you born again? Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? You know, any life that is left outside of Christ is a wasted life. And it won't end well. It may look like everything is okay. But the truth is that people who don't know Christ and give the impression as though everything is okay, deep inside them, in the quietness of their homes and their rooms, they know that everything is not okay. Today you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, as every head is bowed, every eye closed. You may even be watching me online. But wherever you are, I would like to pray with you. Can you lift up your right hand so that I can pray with you today for Jesus to come into your heart? Can you do that wherever you are? God bless you. Let's all pray this prayer together, including those online. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will live for you. I surrender my life to Jesus and I declare him to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. For the rest of my life, I will live for him and I'll follow him. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen."
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.